There's our school bell, and when you hear that bell, you know to go get your school book. That book is going to be the Bible. And particularly today, we're going to be looking at the book of Zephaniah. Now, that might be a little hard to find. It's among those last books of the Old Testament down in the minor prophets. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are those last books. And so that might help you find the book of Zephaniah. He is one of those old prophets of the Old Testament that had a missionary message for all the world and was among those that spoke of how God was going to bless the whole earth through the gospel. Now, I'm not talking about the physical earth, but the people, the inhabitants of the world, as God had promised Abraham. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so we're going to begin now a study of Zephaniah along this theme. Now, while you're finding that in your Bible, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now, if you are ready, let's consult Elam's notes. Elam, E.A. Elam, wrote about Zephaniah in a Sunday school lesson he had prepared for October the 28th, 1923. And Elam tells us that the name Zephaniah means Jehovah hides. Zephaniah prophesied during the reign of Josiah. We read that in Zephaniah chapter 1 in verse 1. The word of Jehovah, which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Jerusalem. Now his prophecies were later than those of Isaiah and Micah. He was one of the minor prophets, and he prophesied of the downfall of Nineveh more than 200 years after Jonah had visited that city, and which was soon destroyed after Zephaniah foretold its downfall. We read about that in Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria and make Nineveh a desolation and dry like the wilderness. And herds shall lie down in the midst of her, and all the beasts of the nations, both the pelican and the porcupine, shall lodge in the capital thereof. Their voices shall sing in the windows. Desolation shall be in the thresholds, for he hath laid bare the cedar work. This is the joyous city that dealt carelessly, and said in her heart, I am, and there is none besides me. How she is become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in. Every one that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. We're going to read now about Zephaniah. And while we are using E.A. Elam to guide us through these studies, I'm going to do, like you might say, invite a guest teacher to come to us today. And we're going to start listening to James McGill. Now, when we hear that name, James McGill, some in this radio audience will remember him. He wasn't long ago before he went on to his reward. He was well known as a wonderful teacher and educator in the state of Tennessee. In fact, James McGill is largely responsible for the existence of the Middle Tennessee School of Preaching and Biblical Studies. There is an extension of that school that meets together on Thursday nights at the Church of Christ at Bethel. That is on the old road between McMinnville and Woodbury. And right now the classes are suspended, and they have been since the fall due to this virus that we are struggling with. But it's hopefully that these classes will start up again next fall, and you'll be listening for that. You'll have an opportunity to sit at the feet of preachers in this area as they study the Bible, and you'll be enriched by those studies. And as that comes to pass, I'll be telling you about that. It's been my privilege to be one of those instructors in that school, and maybe I'll have that opportunity to continue in that this fall. If not, I know there'll be some very capable men and wonderful lessons that we'll get from the Middle Tennessee School of Preaching and Biblical Studies. But now, I'm going to read this to you from James McGill. This is found in a book that was edited by Garland Elkins and Thomas Warren. The book is called The Living Messages of the Books of the Old Testament. And they asked James McGill to write the chapter on the living message of Zephaniah. And so I'm going to let James McGill lead us through the study of this prophet. This is under the title, The Basic Message of the Book of Zephaniah and How It Lives for Men Today. Zephaniah is the 36th book of the Old Testament. It is ninth in sequence among the 12 minor prophets. This brief book has been divided into three chapters, consisting altogether of only 53 verses. Zephaniah is sometimes confused with the longer book of Zechariah, not only because of the similarity of the names, but also on account of the close proximity of the two books in the Old Testament. The two are separated only by the book of Haggai. Zephaniah gives only two specific facts in his introduction. The word of the Lord came unto Zephaniah in the days of Josiah, king of Judah. And Zephaniah's great-great-grandfather was Hezekiah, or otherwise known as King Hezekiah. Many believe this Hezekiah to have been the king in Judah by that name, the great-grandfather of King Josiah. And if this is the case, then the prophet Zephaniah was not only of royal blood, but also a relative of the reigning king. Some scholars note that this connection may have given Zephaniah greater influence in national affairs and closer access to the king. God spoke through Zephaniah during the 31-year reign of Josiah, the good king of Judah, who came to the throne at the age of 8 and ruled until his death in 608 B.C. We are not told whether Zephaniah was active before or during many great reforms of King Josiah, as they are described in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, or perhaps during both of those periods. It would be interesting to know whether the prophets Jeremiah, Nahum, Habakkuk, as well as Huldah, were already serving at the time Zephaniah wrote his prophecy, and whether he was closely associated with one or more of the other prophets. Here's Zephaniah's style. His writing has been called pessimistic, harsh, and negative. Certainly, if he was preaching today, his approach would be much criticized. Some people would say he lacked warmth. Others would note his lack of optimism. Many would say he was fanatical. Some people would claim he was not tactful enough, and that even if he was preaching the truth, he was not going about it the right way. Some might even wrongly judge Zephaniah as lacking love. Certainly some people would say that his pointing out the sins of Judah was going too far, even if it was all right to declare God's judgment against the heathen nations. Some people might have even thought Zephaniah unpatriotic, that he did not love his country, since he denounced Judah so severely and found so much fault with Jerusalem. Yet Zephaniah spoke as an inspired prophet. What he wrote was the word of the Lord. The sins, he pointed out, were all truly present in Judah, and the judgment he predicted all came to pass. Let's talk about the chronology. As Zephaniah mentioned at the first of his book, he was writing sometime during the reign of Josiah. By this time, the final end of the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel had long since taken place. The great Assyrian capital of Nineveh was to be destroyed, and Babylon would soon reign supreme again as the greatest of the world empires. King Josiah was killed in battle as he led the army of Judah in an unsuccessful attempt to halt the Egyptian army on its march to assist Babylon in the final overthrow of Assyria. The destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was to occur in 4 stages and ending in the burning of the city. Let's talk about the goodness and severity of God as it is revealed in Zephaniah. The message of the prophet Zephaniah illustrates vividly the great principle of which Paul wrote when he declared, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God," in Romans 11:22. Of the severity of God toward the disobedient, the prophet says, "I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord." Of the Lord's goodness, Zephaniah says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 2, and Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. One of the problems in Judah was idolatry. Idolatry was still being practiced in various forms. And Zephaniah declares, "King Josiah's wicked father and grandfather, Amon and Manasseh, had encouraged idolatry in every way. The Shemarim, of whom the prophet speaks, were idolatrous priests. Judah was continuing to allow some Baal worship along with the worship of Malcham, who was Molech, the Ammonite god. From the Assyrians they had borrowed the worship of sun and stars and burning incense upon their housetops," Zephaniah 1 in verse 5. "False religion involving the stars is widespread even today. In America alone, millions claim to believe in varying degrees in astrology." Zephaniah also mentions those who sought to worship both heathen gods and the true God, Zephaniah 1 in verse 5. That practice, too, is prevalent today. A spokesman for Theosophy movement recently made the claim that one could be a follower of Theosophy and a good Christian at the same time. Yet Theosophy includes belief in a reincarnation, a view absolutely without support in the Bible. Many more people today are seeking to combine their Christian practices with Masonry and its rituals. Because of Judah's departure from God, including participation in various forms of idol worship, great destruction was to come upon Jerusalem and Judah, and it was soon to come. "The day of the Lord is at hand," Zephaniah would preach in Zephaniah chapter 1 in verse 7. Nothing could now save the nation as a whole. Zephaniah's urgent call to repentance was therefore addressed to individuals, even in the midst of such mass destruction so vividly foretold by the prophet. There was hope for the meek person who repented to survive, Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3. And we're going to continue this study of Zephaniah in our next class and how another characteristic of the Lord is his beauty, as we shall see.